You need a Bible, sir? Do you need a Bible? They're free.
They're free?
Yeah, free Christian Bible. Yeah. Are you Christian?
Agnostic.
Agnostic? All right. Well, if you ever have any questions, my contact info is on the inside, on that first page. My name's Jay, so I'd love to talk if you ever have.
What's your denomination of Christianity?
So we are evangelicals. Like, we're Protestants as opposed to Catholics. We are people who dunk in the water for baptism as opposed to, like, sprinkling, if that means anything to you.
What's the tenets? Like, what is the difference between just the rituals, the difference between the Catholics and the Protestants?
Between Catholics and Protestants?
Yeah.
Very, very different, actually. Catholics would differ, and they would say that we are actually not Christians because we believe that it is by faith alone that someone is saved, that it's not through ritual, it's not through practices or good deeds or praying or baptism. Like, none of those things save you. The Word of God says in the book of Ephesians, which is in there, it says that for by grace you are saved through faith, and that it's not of your good works, lest any man should boast. So,
I've always been spiritual, but, like, I've been thinking about looking into religion more, you know?
Really?
Because it's a positive impact on life that I've seen in other people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got a very positive impact on your afterlife, too. Because the Bible says that all of us have sinned against God, which is, like, committing crimes against God. And so...
So do you think that there's, like, different levels of hell for, like, different people, depending on how bad the sin is?
I would say that the smallest sin, the smallest tiny, tiny sin, like, will give you God's justice and his wrath in the same way that, like, a terrible, terrible, crazy sin would. And so the Word of God says that every single person has sinned against God. So all of God's law is broken down into, like, two main laws. So you can kind of look at your own heart to see whether or not you'd be going to heaven or hell by whether or not you've perfectly loved God or perfectly loved your neighbor.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'm a perfect Christian.
Yeah,
I don't
think
I'm a perfect, like, soul or anything.
Yeah, yeah. The Word of God says that nobody is perfect like that. All of us have sinned in some fashion. Like, if you've told a lie before, that's unloving to your neighbor, because you should always tell the truth. Mm. Like, you should never steal from your neighbor. And so if you've stolen something from your neighbor, even one time, like a store, somebody who owns a store, that you're considered a thief in the eyes of God.
But are there, like, no exceptions to those rules?
There's no exceptions. Like,
what if you have to lie to save a family member?
Well, because God is good, right? Like, he's gonna look at, like, everything, right? And you can look at your own actions with God. Like, have you always, like, told the truth? Like, have you had, like, a pure heart, like, trying to save somebody or whatever? Like, or have you lied, like, cold, like, you know, thick, dark lie instead of, like, a white lie? Like, you have to, like, judge yourself. Like, I'm not here to judge you. Like, but, you know, when you stand before God, he's going to look at your actions. He's going to look at your thought life as well. And so if I had, like, a little microchip and I could put it behind your ear, like, and it could record all your thoughts every day, ever since you've been born, have they always been pure? Have they always been, like, loving? And so, like, you're just like the rest of us. The Bible says that we've all fallen short. Like, there's none good, the Word of God says.
So, salvation is achieved through accepting God as
believing in him or something?
Like, what do I need to do to achieve salvation?
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking about this, and, like, I like the Catholics' idea because they, like, you pay money to the church, you get salvation. And that seems really easy to me.
It seems easy, right? But the Word of God says that, like, there's nothing that we can do to earn eternal life. There's nothing that we can do.
So we're all going to hell no matter what?
We all deserve hell. But the Bible says, which is why the gospel, the word gospel, if you've ever heard that word, it means good news. And so when I come out here, I preach the gospel because it means good news.
I saw you out here and I thought I had to give this to you, sir.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
God bless you, man.
God bless you, too.
Okay, what's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan?
Yes,
Jay.
Sir.
All right.
Stadium?
Jay.
Jay.
Just like the letter. J-A-Y. Yeah.
All right, I'll
if you ever need anything, let me know.
All right, no problem.
God bless you.
You too.
The Word of God says that we've all broken God's law. None of us have done good, but the gospel means good news. Like, so the bad news is that we've all blown it. We've all fallen short. We all deserve God's justice because he's a good God. He must punish evildoers. Like, but the good news is that even though while we were still sinners, Christ has died for the ungodly. And so what that means is that God became a man 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless life for about like 33 years. Like 30 or 33 years, he lived a perfect life, always loving God, always loving his neighbor, never once breaking God's law. You and I have blown it in like 33 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Like he has never done it in 33 years. So he was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so what...
So if we're all sinners, how do we achieve salvation then? Is it impossible?
It is impossible for us to like achieve salvation. It has to be given as a gift. Kind of like if you have, do you have a car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket?
Yeah.
Okay, imagine you had no money and like you were given a speeding ticket for breaking like the law like in your town, mm-hmm. and it says you should be going 30, you went 40. Mm-hmm. Here's a $100 ticket. Like if your fine is paid, you can walk out of the courtroom absolutely free, mm-hmm. because your fine is paid. And so you and I have broken God's law, and we have so many like crimes against us, like that it's not even comparable. But imagine if Jesus Christ, like God in the flesh, comes down and comes into the courtroom, and it says, and he says, what's your name?
Victor.
I'm sorry, I'm Jay. I should have introduced myself a while ago. So he says, like, hey, I know Victor. Like, I care about him. His fine is $1 million. Like, his fine is $1 million. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a job. Like, he'll never be able to pay it. Like, so the judge says, well, because he doesn't have the money, he must do the time, right? He's got to, like, pay the fine or do the time. But he says, you know what? Like, because I care about him, I want to pay his fine. Like, Jesus Christ pays our fine as a free gift. It's not something that we earn. There's nothing good that we can do to bribe the judge of the universe. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, because he was the sinless Lamb of God, because he is God in the flesh, it says that he paid our fine 2,000 years ago on a cross. And so Christians wear crosses around our necks because, like, it represents the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us, so that we can walk out of God's courtroom absolutely free. And he gives it to us but if we trust in him. And so, like, in a courtroom, like, when you're standing before the judge and he says, do you have the money? No. Somebody comes in and says, I'll pay his fine. You can either accept that payment or you can reject it. And so if you are trusting in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved.
Like, so it can't be, salvation can't be earned, it has to be gifted. Okay.
It can never be earned because we've all broken his law. And, you know, there's nothing that we can do to, like, eliminate our sins. The Bible says that the blood of lambs and goats, like, they used to do sacrifices back in that day to cover the sins of Israel. Like, but the Bible says that the blood of goats and lambs can never take away the sin of the world. But Jesus Christ is, John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They were pointing to Jesus, or he was pointing to Jesus saying, like, that is the one, the Messiah, the promised one that was going to come and rescue us. Because in the garden, at the very beginning of time, the very first man, the very first woman sinned against God. God said, you have all these fruits, all these trees, eat from every single one of them. But this one tree over here, don't eat from that one. And Eve was deceived, like, by the serpent, by the devil himself. And she ate of the fruit. And so it's not that she ate the fruit that caused the sin, but it was her not trusting God and listening to him, and they were rebelling. And so Adam and Eve, like, ate from the fruit, and they brought sin and destruction into the whole world. And so the whole Bible, basically, when you read it, it's like a story of, like, man in their fall at the beginning and Christ redeeming mankind through the end. And so it's got great implications for you for eternal life, and it gives you not just eternal life and not just peace with God, but you're actually adopted into the family of God. And what that means is, like, you know, if you ever know somebody who's adopted before, like, they should not be treated like a lower class of person, right? Like they have all the rights and inheritances like given to as like a born son. And so the good news of the gospel is that even though while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He was buried in a tomb and he rose from the dead on the third day. And so because he's alive today, because God saw his sacrifice on the cross as good, and he came to rescue people just like you and me, death could not hold him because he never sinned. But he came to earth 2,000 years ago to redeem rebels, just like us.
So I understand the whole thing of like, you can't earn salvation, it has to be gifted to you.
Yeah.
But isn't like putting our trust into Jesus and like God and his scripture, isn't that a form of earning it? Because like we're saying that we're going to devote our lives to following the rule of God. So isn't that like a form of earning?
No. I mean, like, I don't know if you celebrate Christmas or birthdays.
Yeah, I do.
Like, but you know, if your grandma like gets you a Nintendo Switch, like, you know, it's like receiving a gift from your grandma. Like, it's not an action. You're not paying for any of it, right? She did all the work. She earned all the money. Like, she gives you the gift, and you're receiving it or not. It doesn't make it like you didn't earn any part of it. It's, there's no work on your part of receiving.
So putting trust in God is just accepting his gift.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. Okay. It's like, great example. So I've used this before. Have you ever gone skydiving before?
No, I have not.
All right, I've gone 3 times. And you can either just believe that a parachute will save you, or you can put your trust in a parachute to actually put it on and say, you know what, I don't just believe that this thing is going to save me, but like I absolutely trust it with my life that the law of gravity should bring me down at 120 miles an hour, but this parachute's going to bring me down safely at 30. And so the Bible calls us to have faith and trust Jesus just like you would trust in like a parachute if you're going to be skydiving. And when you do that, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, meaning like he's the king of your life, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. So the great news is that we don't earn anything, but it's offered to us as a free gift. And you know, I would just encourage you, like what that looks like is if you're walking this way, and this way is a bunch of sin, a bunch of like lawlessness, a bunch of craziness, right? Like the Bible says to repent of your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Repenting doesn't save you. Stopping to do like bad deeds doesn't save you. Starting to do good deeds also doesn't save you. So like if you've sinned like a million times and you say, you know what, I'm just gonna get right with God today. I'm gonna start living a good life. That's like going into a courtroom, being convicted of murder and rape. And the judge says to you, like, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, well, yeah, I did those things, but I'm no longer going to do them anymore. I'm going to start living a good life.
At a certain point, it's too many sins to be saved.
Yeah. A good judge would say, because you raped that girl and because you murdered her, I must punish you. The law compels me to punish you. But if your fine is paid, if there was a way for a judge to say, if somebody steps in your place and takes your punishment, you can walk out of the courtroom. It doesn't change the fact that you are guilty, right? Like, but your fine is paid. And so Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He did not come to die for the righteous. Jesus Christ came to die for like people just like you and I. That's why the gospel is for like the whole world. Anybody like who like sees their need of a savior, repents of their sin. Like when you see Christ and you see God for who he is, and you see what put Jesus on the cross, and you see how like wicked sin is, like you'll naturally turn away from evil and you'll turn to good. Not as a way of saving you, but like when your relationship with God changes, your relationship with sin also changes.
So like, I get the whole salvation pitch, but like for me, I'm an agnostic, so like I view all religion equally at the current moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to like see which religion would bring me the most happiness. And like, a lot of other religions, they require much less work to like, and they promise the same amount of eternal salvation.
Yeah.
So like, my question is, why should I put my faith into your specific religion when there's hundreds out there that would make me do less work for the same pitch of salvation.
I would challenge you to look at any religion out there, any like worldview, and you would see that every single religion requires you to do something to earn salvation, to earn peace with God. Christianity is the only religion in the entire world that says, like, it's not your works that save you. It is purely a gift of God. So,
well, your specific version of Christianity. Catholicism says that you can buy out of your way out of hell.
We would reject Catholicism because it's not consistent with what God has revealed in Scripture.
So Catholicism is not Christian.
Catholicism is not Christian. It is different. It is absolutely different. It is a works-based religion. And Christianity is a religion that's a grace-based religion. And it conforms to reality the most. So I would say, like, with Christianity, like, with Christ dying, one of the things that was incredibly compelling to the people during the time of Jesus Christ that has lasted for 2,000 years is the fact that he rose from the dead. Like, because Jesus Christ is a real person, he's not a figment of somebody's imagination, you know, he's found in history, like, on records, and because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, like, the Bible says, like, there's written history saying that Jesus Christ appeared to over 500 eyewitnesses. And the author who wrote that down says, and if you don't believe that, go talk to, like, these people who are still alive. Most of them are still alive. Some of them have died. But it's saying, like, there were 12 people that followed Jesus. They're called disciples. And they followed him, and they were, like, learning what he was talking about, eternal life. And all of them, I think but one, like, ran scattered when Jesus Christ was brought to the cross. And he was crucified by hands and his feet.
Yeah, Judas betrayed him, Simon denied him.
Okay, so you kind of know. Yeah. So the Bible says that, like, all of them ran running scared. Like, but when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And when he was put into the tomb, like, the tomb was sealed by the Roman soldiers. And I don't know if you know, like, what sealing means, but...
Yeah, they moved a really heavy-ass rock that no one could move.
Yeah, right. And because he rose from the dead, the church history, like, shows and says that, like, all but one, like, died as a martyr because they believed that they saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead. So people who were running scared before the crucifixion, they were like, yeah, like, we've got this. And Jesus is saying, no, I didn't come right now to, like, just set up a kingdom on earth. Like, he's like, I came to, like, forgive sinners of their sins. I have to go to the cross. That's the whole purpose of coming, was to die. And so they're like, they were confused, but when he rose from the dead, they had, like, the boldness of a lion. Like, and all but one went to their death as martyrs, like, hung upside down, beheaded, thrown off, like, cliffs. And the one that survived was
Judas.
No. Judas hung himself. But
was it Simon?
No, it was John. So John actually was captured. He was boiled in oil, like tradition says, and then he was cast onto an island, like a remote island. And so even though, like, he didn't die from, like, those, like, wounds, he still, like, most people won't die for a lie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are people that believe that something is true and they will, like, die for it. Like, so you have, like, Muslims, they believe, like, that Allah is the true God, and so they'll kill themselves by blowing themselves up. But, like, people won't die for a lie. They just won't. Like, yeah. It's not consistent with reality.
You have to believe strong enough that it's real to be able to put your life on the line.
You're right. Yeah, you're totally right. And so those evidences, those, like, things point to the scriptures as, like, authentic. Like, and because you still have, like, Christianity blown up all over the world, like, it's a work of God that God is doing to rescue sinners, like, from all over the world. Even to Tallahassee here, 2,000 years later, calling out to you. Like, you know, people like me, like, telling the good news of the gospel. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, like, will capture your heart. Like, he'll turn your heart from one that's hard against God to one that is soft and tender towards God. And the Bible says that you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. Like, and it's not talking about being born again, like fleshly. It's talking about you need to have, like, your spirit, like, quickened from death to life.
Yeah, I've been to Israel before, and I saw the tomb of Jesus.
Have you really?
Yes. And wow. Like,
I've never been yet.
What I found interesting about it was that a lot of different religions claim on to the same story that you just told me about, you know, the resurrection of Jesus and all that. And the primary difference between them, it really comes down to the tenets.
Yeah.
And so my question is, if your religion, if your specific version of Christianity is the most correct and the most accurate, then how come people are still believing in other religions? How come there are people who are so devoted to Allah or people who are devoted to Buddhism?
Sure, yeah. It all comes down to deception. Like, people can be deceived, right? Like, you've got a $100 bill that's real, and then you have other people that will make a counterfeit, right? And so, if there is a devil, which the scriptures say they are, so I affirm that there is a real devil, like, who is against God and hates God, and his time is limited on earth, he's gonna do all he can to corrupt and deceive people made in God's image. Because the Bible says that you and I are not just like mosquitoes and like dogs and monkeys. The Word of God says that we were made in God's image, and so that we have value and dignity, like, higher than any, like, animal. And so for us, like, if we're made in God's image and the devil hates God, he hates mankind. Like, he hates us who are made in his image. And so for us, like, we have an enemy that's God. Like, it's not people. People are not our enemies. Like, we're all made in God's image, right? Like, ultimately, we're all, me and you are technically, like, distant cousins of, like, Noah, like, and Adam and Eve. But the devil has set his, like, face against us. He wants us to have as much, like, corruption in this life as possible. Because,
so the other religions are being deceived by the devil.
For sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like,
and they reverse that and say that about you, though?
They could, but you'd have to look at the internal consistency of what it says. Like, Jesus Christ says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Like, Jesus Christ himself, who died on a cross and rose from the dead with eyewitness testimony, said, I'm the only way to the Father. Jesus Christ performed tons of miracles. So back in that day, like, before they actually had, like, written scripture down on paper, like, they would have people called prophets, and prophets are people who would proclaim, like, the truths of God, right? And so some prophets would need to have, back in that day, ways to affirm that what they're saying is true. And so, like, miracles were what were used in, like, past times to prove that if I were to say, like, hey, like, Jesus Christ is God, and you're like, Jay, like, I don't believe you, and you're like, hey, watch this water, and it turns to wine, you would be like, whoa, okay. Like, you know, supernatural events are things that God used back in that day to, like, prove that as a sign, like, that what they're saying is true. And Jesus Christ performed tons of miracles. If you've ever heard of him, like, healing people that were blind, healing people that were deaf, even raising people from the dead, it wasn't just for healing them. It was to show that he was the Son of God. And he performed tons of miracles, like, all throughout Israel. Like, the week before him being crucified, like, people were, like, shouting for him.
He healed the lepers, he cured the blind, he walked on water.
Yeah, he walked on water, too. Like, he fed 5,000 people from, like, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so all of these signs that Jesus Christ did pointed to him being God, pointed him to being the Messiah. And there was even prophecy written in scripture. Let me read this to you. You tell me who this is. All right. Who is this talking about? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Who is that talking about?
Jesus Christ.
You know who that was written? Who wrote that down?
Who?
A prophet, Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. prophecy is another great fingerprint of God on the authenticity of Scripture. Like that book is legit, talking about godly things and like supernatural things. Only God, who can see the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega, can tell a prophet to write something down. And it's not just that one prophecy. There are hundreds of prophecies written down in Scripture that Jesus Christ specifically fulfilled. Like, it is absolutely incredibly like pointing to Jesus as God and the Messiah, the one true God. And so
I don't doubt that Jesus was a real person.
Yeah.
But I do doubt of like whether he was belonging to your specific faith.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying, and it also follows along the same lines of the Judaism religion.
Yeah.
They also believe in the resurrection of Christ.
They don't.
Christ and all that.
No. Jews reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They reject him as God. The reason why Jesus was crucified was because the Jews were saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were saying that he was speaking blasphemies. They're saying, there's only one God. Like, you can't be God. God's not coming in the form of the flesh. Like, they were looking for a Messiah to rescue them from Rome, to rescue them and to bring peace on earth. And they were like, Jesus, like, you are not God. You're the son of a carpenter. And your mom, like, was, you say, was born you of a virgin. Like, they were like, you're a shameful person. They reject Jesus Christ absolutely as the Messiah and as God. And so, like, we have the first half of the Bible is the Torah, like, is the Old Testament. And the second half is the New Testament. And this section talks about Jesus Christ specifically redeeming, giving us a new covenant.
And that's the difference between your religion and Judaism. They only believe in the Old Testament. You believe in the Old and the New Testament.
Correct. So they reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the promised one that was going to come, which was prophesied by Isaiah 53 and in the book of Psalms, like the book of Daniel, like talks about when specifically the Messiah was going to come during the time of the Roman kingdom, the Roman emperor. Like, they reject Jesus because he was lowly, he was meek, he was mild. He wasn't rich. He was a carpenter's son. Like, they were looking for somebody else, and they rejected him. And so the New Testament, actually, I think all of the authors, except, like, one, all the disciples were Jewish, and they were following the Jewish Messiah. And so Christianity is, like, a branch out of Judaism. And so, like I said, where Israel rejects Jesus Christ as the Messiah, like, Christians were the Jewish people that accepted him as the Messiah, and it expanded to all Gentiles as well. Like, I'm a Gentile. That means, like, basically, if you're not, like, Jewish by descent, like, you're not by Jewish by blood, a son of Abraham, so, man, good to see you, then you are a Gentile. You're somebody who is grafted into the family of God. We're adopted as sons and daughters. Like, if you were Jewish, like, by blood, like, and you adopted me as your son, like, I would be brought into your family in the same way that we're adopted into the family of God. So the whole gospel is for the whole world, all people. Like, it's an expanding, like, goodness, you know, going all over the world. If you see, Christianity is, like, exploding in China right now, just, like, going crazy. People are being converted and saved here, where in America it seems like it's dimming down. But the Bible says, like, the Spirit blows where he wishes. Like, you know, in America, we're hardening our hearts to the gospel. We're rejecting Jesus Christ.
Mostly because people are, like, thinking they can predetermine themselves. They can decide their own fate. They don't need no God to.
Yeah, nobody wants God. Like, imagine if, like, you know, I told you from this day forward, you're not allowed to, like, ever walk on concrete. And you're like, that's a pain in the butt, you know? Like, forget you. I'm just going to reject you out altogether.
Isn't that a tempting idea to just reject God?
Yeah, it's
just
very tempting.
Live how you want to live.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. But the Bible says that, like, when you have a new relationship with God, your relationship with his law changes as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when, as a parent, like, I'm a dad now. And so before, when you're a kid and you're like, your parents never let you go, like, out when you wanted to, they do it because they love you. Like, God's law is a law of love, you know? So when he says, like, you know, hey, you shouldn't murder people, like, and if our heart says, well, I really hate those people, so I want to murder them, like, he knows that it's not good for the other person, but it's also not good for you. Mm-hmm. Like, he says that you should marry to have sex. Like, not just because he, like, hates sex. Like, but he knows that, like, for us, like, there's beauty and benefit in, like, a monogamous relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're saved from, like, all STDs. A great example. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get STDs if you only ever have one, like, wife and you've only slept with her one time, or as opposed to other people. So, like, his law, like, when we have a new relationship with, like, God, when we're born again, like, his law isn't burdensome. And I can tell you, like, for me, like, I don't, like, regret becoming a Christian because he says I shouldn't murder.
But you don't see the difficulty in asking people to believe in a book that's really old, really, really old, and that could have possibly been mistranslated from, like, the generations that have passed since the beginning? Like, you don't think anything in the book is, like, probably maybe mistranslated from the original copy?
No, because they have the old copies. It's written in Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. And so they can look back, like, with almost, like, perfect certainty, like, what was written back then is what we have now. And obviously they update the translations into modern times. So, like, this isn't a King James Bible, like, but nobody speaks like King James does anymore. So they've updated it to English, like, standard version, the one that you've got in your hand. And so these, like, translations, a good translator goes back to the original scriptures, the original, like scrolls that were, like, written down, like, and so you've got those to look back on to make sure that what somebody is saying. So yeah, if somebody says, like, Jesus is, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will do this, they'll say Jesus was a God, not the God. And so in the book of Colossians,
they believe in multiple gods then.
But if you look at the original scripture, there is an indefinite article there that they will ignore because it doesn't fit their theology. So when you look at a Bible and you have a question about it, go back to the originals, the earliest that you have available. And I'm telling you, the Christian Bible is the most consistent, like, word of God. There are the most copies of, like, all, like, manuscripts that were written, like,
and
in
so
that
time. So the evangelicals are the ones who are following the word of God to its letter, right?
Well, I mean, people are still sinners, right? And so we're not, like, following it perfectly. Nobody's still following.
But you're believing
perfectly
that everything in the original word of God is correct.
Right. Somebody who's Orthodox, somebody who's a Christian, like, holds firm that this is the word of God. The Bible says, like, that all scripture was breathed out by God, that it was, like, given to us for teaching and for correcting and reproving, like, that God has given us, like, his communication so that we can know him and that we can know how we can be redeemed from our sin and have peace with him. So if God is good, he doesn't need to save anybody, but because of his goodness and his kindness and his grace, he has, like, sent Christ down to redeem us, but he didn't have to. He could have let us all, like, just go stand before him, and he would say, have you sinned against me? And we would all say, yes, we've broken your law. We deserve your wrath. We deserve your judgment.
So I want to find eternal happiness and purpose for my life.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, for me, like, it's a bit hard to accept everything that in the Bible says is true, because
yeah,
some of the things are
yeah
a bit outlandish. And
yeah,
some of the things that we can't really see as being physically possible within the world.
Right.
And there are contradictions in the Bible that I found that make it difficult for me to accept it as the word of God.
Yeah.
The Tower of Babel, for example, we've left the atmosphere here since then.
Yeah.
So if God was so worried about us building up to the heavens, then
uh-huh,
why would he even allow us to go
outside
the atmosphere?
That's not a contradiction. That's like us not understanding, like, the purpose of the Tower of Babel. Like,
so what? Why did he not want us to build up to the gates of heaven?
I would say that somebody like Satan, trying to build yourself up and higher to be powerful and to be godlike, is a terrible sin in the eyes of Creator. If you look at it from God's perspective, like, if man is saying, like, we're going to come together and we are going to, like, we're going to make ourselves God, in a sense. Like, we're going
to
make...
Build our way up to God.
Yeah, like, we're, that's a great picture. Like, not in a literal sense, but to have, like a monument to pride. To
so have he didn't have a problem with them building a tower up to heaven. He had a problem with the symbolism of the tower itself.
Yeah, because you're not going to build a tower up to heaven. Like, that's silly. Like, you know? Like, but it's, like, it's the heart. Like, God is after your heart just as much as he was and still is after my heart. Like, it's not that he wants to slap your hand, like, when it's sinning. He wants your heart. Like, which is why the Bible says you need to have a new heart. I've got to get back to work.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you for talking with me. Like, it's been really nice. I'm trying to consider different religions, so I'm always grateful to talk to someone with a different faith.
Yeah.
One last question. What's that money thing?
Good question. So that is the Gospel of John. So it's the fourth book in the New Testament. And it's just, it's got like a skin on it. But it's the exact same thing as this. But, you know, you can hand this out to somebody and say, you know, hey, this is the Gospel of John. It's worth more than $1 million what's in here, like, because this has like the words to eternal life, like, in it. So it's the exact same thing that you've got
could
in
I
there
get one to maybe pass along to a friend.
Yeah absolutely.
Well, and thank you for talking to me, Jay. It was nice meeting you.
If you want to talk more, you know, hit me up on social. I don't know if you're on social media.
Yeah,
like Tally Preacher. Like, let's get up together if you ever want to, like, sit down. Like, I'd love to walk through the Gospel of John with you.
Yeah, I have a lot more questions about faith.
I would love to talk to you.
So,
anything.
Just one last thing. Are you a preacher?
I'm not. Well, I preach the gospel, but I'm not like a pastor of a church. Like, I go to a church called Four Oaks. Mm-hmm. There's three in town. There's one up in the northeast side of town. There's one in the middle of town called Midtown. And there's one on the east side of town. So if you look at Tallahassee, it's like a big circle. Like, an FSU is like kind of right in the middle. There's one up here, one in the middle, kind of near FSU. And there's one on the east side. But like I said, I'd love to, like, have you sit down if you ever want to talk with my pastor as well. He's a brilliant guy. Like, he's very knowledgeable too of this stuff. But I care about students because I came to FSU and I was not a Christian just like you. Except I wasn't searching. I wasn't seeking these things out. Like, but somebody, like, told me about the gospel. It was actually a girl that I was dating at the time. And so, like, I just was going about my life, living the good life, you know, going to parties, hanging out, like, sleeping around, like, you know, it didn't really, like, matter to me. I wasn't, like, thinking about eternal life. So the fact that you're, like, seeking these things out, I believe God is, like, calling you to himself, like, you know, and it's very rare to have somebody, like, seeking these things out. So you should look at that as, like, a blessing that God is calling you. But, like, consider the things. I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John. I would start in the Gospel of John, like, page, like, 518 or something like that.
These are 500. That's really way late in the book. 518.
Something. Gospel of John. Just start in the Gospel of John, and, like, if you've got questions, there you go. Start there. Put the little, like, purple paper in there or whatever, like, and just start there. Like I said, it's the same thing as that one right there. So the Bible says that the Gospel of John was actually written that you might believe. So I always point people to the Gospel of John because it's, you know, pointing to Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. So it's a great place to start if you're wanting to, like, examine Jesus Christ.
I definitely will. Thank you for talking to me. I will be checking out the church soon because I have much more questions.
Absolutely. It was so nice to talk to you.
So nice to talk to you too. See you later.
Later.